Hey, everybody, it's me here, Michael Franti, on the Stay Human podcast. Man, we are super excited because we've got a new album that is coming out. It's called Work Hard and Be Nice. 17 songs, that's right, you heard it, 17 songs filled with optimism and stories about how we get through challenging times and still hold on to our humanity. We can't wait to get back out on the road with you guys, so stay tuned to all of my socials. You'll get the information first about when we're going to be touring next. In the meantime, enjoy all the songs on the album, Work Hard, Be Nice. You can Spotify it. You can stream it all over the place. You can download it on iTunes. You can even get the CD from michaelfranti.com. So check it out. It's been a great day. We've had Natasha Bedingfield. We have had OAR. We have had Michael Franti and Spearhead and Taimani Gardner. And Train is coming up next. And we're super happy to come just to be here with you today with Natasha Bedingfield. Now, have you ever been to a place like this before, the Gorge?
Actually, I've never been to the Gorge, and it's absolutely spectacular, breathtaking.
Gorge us.
Yeah. Gorgeous, yeah. Exactly, and it takes you. There's no words when you see it, and every time you look at it, it changes, which is amazing.
What did
amazing.
You think when you first drove up here?
Well, I knew. I was very excited because this is the last day of our whole tour, yeah. And I'd seen pictures. I was like, whoa, you know, I couldn't believe it. But actually, it's way more beautiful than what I saw online.
And what did Rocky think? What was his whole?
What did you think, Rocky? Rocky liked the wind. He kept on just letting the wind.
The wind.
Rocky's a Pomeranian, and he's
feel the
very
wind
fluffy.
In your
yeah.
hair.
And I'm so excited to see him. I've been on the road for 2 months solid, and haven't really even seen my dog. So that was cool. My husband drove out and brought them here.
So you're very close. Yeah. What's your other dog's name?
Dude.
Rocky and Dude.
Yeah.
Nice. So I could see why you would. They sound like chummy.
Yeah, you just get attached. You get attached. You know.
And you are from England, but are your dogs from there too?
No, dogs are from America.
They're from America.
Yeah, American. Yeah, and my husband's from America.
Okay.
And yeah, my parents are from New Zealand, which I know spent a long time because I saw your tattoos.
Time, yeah.
Yeah, and you had yours freehand.
Yeah, they had them done there with hand tools.
I just love that.
Styling.
So brave to let someone do that.
You know, the last things that I did were these arms right here, and these are like emblematic of my two sons. So this is like a shark swimming through the water and the waves of the past and the present and the future. And this is my other son here. And I only had 4 hours in this before sound check. And so the guy's doing, he's like, you know, this is going to take 4 hours each. And he was like, but I could get my assistant to do the outline on one while I'm shading the other. And so I was there. I did both arms at the same time. Mm. And I was in excruciating pain. And at the end of it, tears are coming down my face. At the end of it, I go, have you ever done that before, two guns on somebody at the same time? And he was like, no, Mike, and I will never do it again. You're the last one. Yeah. So tell me, your family is from New Zealand, and then they came to
England? They immigrated to England just before I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we really identify with New Zealand culture because it's just, it's such an amazing place. Like here, it's very nature, and as you experienced probably when you were there, there's such a deep, there's a rich kind of just culture there.
And and when did you grow up in England?
I grew up in London.
In London?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a very major transition going from beautiful countryside and whatnot in New Zealand to one of the most intense urban environments you could ever
totally
live in.
And but the thing that I love about London is it's very multicultural, so you just get used to you just pick up a lot from all the cultures around. And as a kid, it's an amazing place to grow up because you can travel. You don't have to get driven around.
Yeah.
You know, you can just get on the
tube.
Yeah, you can get on the bus or the tube and get wherever you need to be. So, even when I was, not at 10 or 11, I was, could
just
have my
around.
Life and make music and things like that.
Yeah. So, what is the first things you remember from growing up in London? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, London is very concrete.
Yeah.
there's definitely a lot of tension because so many people all in one place, and everyone has to be very polite. That's the thing that
they don't have to be, but they are.
They are. No, there's all these rules in England that are not nobody's like unwritten rules. Yeah. Ha ha ha. But no pun intended. But like on the bus or something, you don't look at each other. You don't smile. Mm. You actually just keep to your own space, and you just kind of, it's like you have a little force field around you.
Yeah.
That's one thing I noticed when I came to America, is people are much more smiley and much just more friendly.
They talk to you.
In England, it's, if you look at people in the eye, it's almost like you're, well, in London anyway, it's almost like you want to fight.
Or you want to have sex with them. You're
exactly.
Trying to, like,
there's something that you want. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but, you know, that there's that kind of tension, but then that, in that tension, amazing creativity exists
comes out,
yeah, which is what I really experience in London.
And the neighborhood that you live in, was it a multicultural neighborhood?
Yeah. There's 81 different nationalities in the area that I was brought up.
So what? Yeah. From where? I mean, 81.
So a lot of my friends are Jamaican. Yeah. You probably could tell, like, with my music, I love a lot of, you know, like reggae beats and stuff. That's probably the influence from my Jamaican friends, but also gospel.
So we went to
some gospel churches that were just so encouraging to youth. Mm-hmm. So they would have like a, you know, one of my friends, it was like, he's like, since he was 7, he'd be playing drums, you know, and everyone's like, yeah, you know, my brother was getting up and rapping, and people were like, yeah, amen. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a really cool environment to.
And did you grow up in church? Did your family?
Yeah, my parents, we grew up in church, yeah.
Nice. And what was, so was there a certain point where you felt like, Was the church that you were in, I mean, sounds like a very open church, not like, you know. Oh,
yeah, it was that thing, that religious, the thing where you go, this, we're not religious, we're spiritual.
Yeah.
It was that kind of church. But, you know, every kind of community has their own kind of rules anyway.
Yeah.
So it's more religious than they realize, but it still was pretty free because it was spirit-filled.
And was there a lot of music in your home growing up?
Yeah, I mean, my brother is a genius, and then my sister and I, we used to sing harmonies with him, and we kind of learned everything off him. Wow. He's my older brother. You'd probably like him.
Yeah, I think I would. Mm. Yeah. And so you're in the house, and you're growing up, and were your family, or I should say your parents, were they feeding you music all the time? Was it just a part of it?
I mean, my mom used to sing to us in the womb. Nice. Yeah, so she loved music. And all the kids in my family, there's 4 kids, all of them write songs and have amazing voices.
What was the very first song you wrote?
I mean, I wrote so many songs. My first song was probably about trying to write a song, I think.
Do you remember any?
No.
Of course you do.
I'm not singing it.
Go on.
I'll say you have to write a lot of really bad songs to get good songs. You have to be willing to. Yeah.
Do you still write a ton of bad songs? Or are you somebody who writes mainly just like...
I write selfish songs. I write songs that are just for me, and they're just they're therapy.
Yeah.
And then I write songs that are outward, that are about, like, okay, what do other people want to be expressed? What do we all as human beings need to say?
Yeah.
Where that's more like, okay, come on, you know, inclusive.
Yeah. I call those my bathroom songs. They're songs that I sing in the bathroom, and it's like, if I was a painter, I'd hang it up in my bathroom.
Yes.
I wouldn't hang it up in my living room or in the front of my house.
But you have to get those songs to get to the other songs. You know, like, I write a lot of sad songs, and I'm known for my happy songs, like Pocket Full of Sunshine. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, she writes the positive songs, but I actually write way more sad songs because I'm quite a pessimist. Mm. Like, when my husband married me, he was like, you're really negative. Like, I mean, like, he would have these amazing dreams because he's American, and I'd be like, yeah, that's not going to work. You know, like, it was just kind of, it's not negative, it's just realistic.
Yeah.
But or pessimistic or something. Mm-hmm. But you have to get through those songs, and even the positive ones, they have to start from a place of pain or a question, and you kind of reach through.
When you were in your teen years, were you sad?
No. I'm quite a happy person. Yeah.
Were you happy?
Yeah.
So where did the sadness come from?
I think
from?
That's just where it expresses in the music. Mm-hmm. I think music is my place that I can go for that stuff. And I'm that kind of person who, you know, gets dunked under. A lot of bad things happen to me, like everyone, you know. Yeah. But I kind of still, I just, like, rise.
What was the most challenging thing that's happened to you in your life?
Too many to say. I don't know. I think it's just I would say, like, from a young age, it was people didn't really think I had much to say. So for me, it was that
as a feeling. Musician or just
as a person, I was just kind of overlooked, and I was very shy.
In school, or in your family?
I was just that person who was like, oh, she's just. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, she's a nice person. You know, but so for me, the biggest struggle back then was how do I get my voice heard? Because when you know you've got something to say, it's burning inside you, and it becomes very frustrating. And you, like, if you don't release it, you could become quite a tense person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, how did you work through that?
The music, songwriting. Yeah, yeah, definitely, and having some experiences, and you know, taking some risks.
Mm. What were some of the risks that you took to get to where you are now?
Oh, wow. That's a long story.
Go for it. Yeah, it's a podcast.
Being on stage is like, that's definitely the thing I love the most, and it's the most risk that I take, because it's, you know, getting married is a risk, falling in love, trusting that someone's got your back, and that love is not going to bite you, you know.
Some people go through life. Relationship, and then some people are like more serial monogamous. You know, they've
gone.
In your life, how has it been for you?
I wrote a song called "Single." That was my first single, and it went number one. And I was single for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest struggle for me is trusting people, and you know, it's hard because, you know, pain is one of those things that you can't compare. Like, everyone likes to go, well, my pain hurts more than yours. You know, I was more abused than, you know, oh, that, you think that hurt? Well, I was, you know. And the funny thing is, just pain is pain. And so I think we all go through things. We all go through pain. But sometimes you can feel like, oh, you know, I can't share mine because I wasn't sexually abused, you know. But, you know, I'm very grateful that my dad was like such a...
Hey everybody, it's Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. A few years back, my wife Sarah and I decided that we would start a nonprofit with the intention of bringing people with advanced stages of life-threatening illness, children and adults with special needs, and wounded veterans to see any live concert by any artist in any city in the world. And from that, Do It For The Love was born. If you have a friend or family member who needs music in that way, just write to us at doitfortheLove.org, and we'll make sure to get them out to see any concert in any city by any artist. Do It For The Love, y'all.
You know, but at the same time, like, what's incredible is when you put the struggles that you have in a song, it really relates to people. So there's one song I have called I Bruise Easily, which is about the thing I was saying about not being able to trust people, and about how love, like, if you open your heart to love with no safety net, like, you could really get hurt, you know. So that's one of my struggles that has been a real struggle. But, you know, obviously, well, what's interesting is when I share that, it actually helps people. And then another song called Wild Horses, a lot of gay guys have said that that's their anthem that they've come out to their parents to.
Wow.
And I'm not gay, but for some reason that song resonates and I think it's because the song's about trying to break out of what people want, the box people want you in. And I've experienced that growing up in a Christian environment where you're a good Christian girl, and so it's interesting, me talking about my struggle actually relates to someone else in their struggle and encourages them to step out.
So you're saying as a you know, growing up in a Christian background.
Yeah.
Was there a point where you had to make a decision? You know, like, I want to do something that's not just down this lane. I want to go somewhere else. Was there a certain point where you felt that way? Or?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, just that you said, you were saying that you, as a, you know, there's certain expectations of you as a Christian.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to, like, still be yourself, but maybe go somewhere else that is different than those expectations.
I mean, like, I think a woman... The challenge a good girl has is that she has to be quiet, and she has to be non-confrontational and agreeable. And so I think the decision to be more you know, strong in who I am, and you know, have a career and have, you know, all these kind of things. I think that's definitely part of that.
How has that been in the music industry?
It's amazing. I mean, it's just it's incredible to have the freedom that I have, and I've been in this industry for like 11 or 12 years now. Yeah. And I love it. I love it. I write songs every day.
You know what I think is really remarkable about you is that you are like a real musician, like a real singer, real songwriter, and at the same time you've been able to have songs that are really pop hits. Hmm. And there's so many artists that have like hit songs, and especially women who are, you know, produced and programmed and packaged, and you wear this and you go this and you show up and you do this and this is how you do it. But you're like a serious musician and like a serious writer who at the same time has managed to have like massive hits, and just massive hits, but massive hits with meaning, you know, and that's like, it's quite remarkable.
Thank you.
You know, has that been hard to be able, you know, you walk into a record label and you're like, you know, here's who I am and here's what I have. Did they, was it like an immediate thing for you, or was it like, you know, tough sell?
No, I mean, my brother had hits before I did, and so he was telling everyone his sister is good. You know, my sister's great, you know. And everyone's like, yeah, sure. Everyone has a sister, you know, everyone has someone that they're trying to promote. And I didn't get a deal right away, but there was that one record company, and I was their first artist. They were a new label, and they took a chance on me, and it was a good team. And you know, just finding that group of people where you can be yourself, I think that's the important thing.
What's your approach as a songwriter? What comes first, music, melody, lyrics?
Mostly it's a concept. It's like a title or just a question, actually. Yeah. Like, is there a soulmate for everyone? Ah, that's a good song. Uh-huh. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And do you think of the audience when you're doing it, or do you just write from yourself, from your heart, or are you thinking like, here's somebody who I want to speak to?
I do. I think of myself, I think of my friends and what they're going through, and I think of the people who I'm going to sing with. And I'm thinking about, you know, what we just experienced today, of people singing it with us, because that's the best feeling as an artist, is when people sing the song. It's like, it's also about keeping it simple enough, isn't it, that people can... the people can hear what you're saying and can remember it.
Yeah, that's what I try to think. When I'm writing a song, I always want to write a chorus that anybody can sing the first time they've heard it. But you want it to be that on repeat list, and they get things from it each time they listen to it.
Yes, and like gold digging. Yeah. They can just
investing those little nuggets in there.
And also, if it's like a parable, if we go back to the church thing, but if it's a parable, it's a story.
Yeah.
So a kid could just think it's a nice story.
Yeah.
If you go deeper, there's more truths in it, and there's a work involved in the listener. But if you want, it could just be entertaining.
Yeah. Is it hard for you? Do you get up in the morning and it just comes out of you, or do you sit there and labor over the words?
I'm pretty much of a perfectionist, so I think I make it hard.
Yeah.
But sometimes they come really quick, and sometimes you can take weeks.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Well, do we have any questions here?
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys both want to go on stage soon.
Yeah.
What time am I going on?
Does anybody have any questions from our studio audience?
Yeah, we actually need to get ready soon. But we're going to have one question. How long do we have?
I got a question.
Go ahead, Mark. Well, then we'll wrap
Okay.
You talked about that bad feeling of when you're growing up, and are people listening, or you know, do you have something really to say that other people haven't said? Do you ever write a song about that?
Yes. I think Unwritten is about that. Yeah, because, I mean, that's a 14-year-old, I wrote that song to my brother, actually, my 14-year-old brother, but it's still very true for me today. Sometimes I listen to the lyrics and I'm like, oh, wow, I need to take my own advice, because, you know, it's that whole thing where if someone tells you, this is who you're going to be, or most of the time people like to tell you what you're not able to do. Like, people love to tell you, they think they're protecting you by telling you your limits, and I don't know why. Did you know that no girl has ever done that before? Did you know that you're too old? Did you know that you're too young? Did you know that you're the wrong skin color? Did you know? Like, it's just, why do people love to tell you what the limit is? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I love kind of breaking people's expectations. It's kind of like when someone says, that can't be done, it's kind of like, oh, really? You know, but sometimes, you know, I forget that, and sometimes you can hear those limits and be like, ooh, ow, ooh, oh, ew, ooh, you know, and just kind of like, I can't do anything. And so, that song's about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you've done it. You've defied genres. You defied just you know, being yourself in an industry that tries to pigeonhole people, and your music is super uplifting and super inspiring. I was listening to a whole bunch of it on the bus over the last couple of days, thinking hopefully that you would be able to be here to do this. And your music is really needed in this time when there's so many people who feel so overwhelmed by what's happening in the world. People need sense of feeling like there are possibilities out there. Thank so I just have one last question. This is called the Stay Human Podcast.
Okay.
In this world that is so crazy, how do you stay human?
I do yoga.
Right on.
Yeah. I started doing yoga 2 years ago, and it completely got me into my body, because I was always in my spirit.
Yeah.
I was always in the, like, I was doing music, which, you know, which is like, and then prayer, and then all these things, but I wasn't in my body. And so, and I know you do yoga. Yeah. I know that, a lot of, you know, it, like, so for me, that has completely transformed things for me, because I it relieved the pressure, and it's like, oh, you can just be in yourself. And yeah, it keeps me human.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for revealing so much of who you are.
It's a pleasure also to see you, and also to see how much the crowd just love what you do. And, you know, that's absolutely undeniable. And and your heart and your spirit is just beautiful.
Well, we're going to go thank sing you. With Train. So thank you all for being here today. On the Stay Human Podcast. Hey everybody, this is Michael Franti here on the Stay Human Podcast, and I've traveled all throughout the world, and I've been to many inspiring places, and one of my favorites is Bali. I fell in love with its people and nature the first time that I came here in 2007, and at that time, I had a dream to build a place that was dedicated to music, soul, and wellness. And from that, the Soulshine Bali Hotel was born. It's my boutique hotel located in the heart of Bali, surrounded by beautiful rice fields and the most incredible sunsets that you might ever experience. We do over 50 retreats a year, or you can just come here and spend a night on your own. So follow us on Instagram at Soulshine Bali.